Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Every Tuesday means Jerry Jones here on 105.3 The Fan, and he is going to be asked about the job security of Jason Garrett today, no doubt. We asked Jason yesterday. And did Jason have media availability yesterday?
He did.
You guys ask him about that?
Yes.
And?
No.
No what?
I don't spend any time thinking about that. We're getting prepared for the Eagles.
Yes. And Stephen Jones was asked the very same question yesterday right here on Ben and Skin.
Absolutely not. We're ready to go. I think this team just needs to get a win under its belt, and I still think we can have a great year. And I feel good about it and feel great about Jason and his staff, and feel like, you know, we'll go to work here this week and move forward.
Mike Fisher in for Choppy here on a Tolo Tuesday. Glad you're waking up with us. Here are the latest reports out there. Jane Slater, a Cowboys source just now, when I posed the question on Garrett's job security, quote, "Too early to jump ship, too early to build one too. The thing is, you can look up and we're 13-3 or hell, 3-13. Right now it's premature to take either side, but circle back next Monday." Your good buddy, you did battle with last week, Ed Werder, said, "I texted a Cowboys source after the Jets loss, and the immediate response, swift and seemingly emphatic, is Garrett in trouble? Quote, absolutely not," close quote.
Well, absolutely not is the theme of the last 2 weeks. Stephen Jones has come on here twice in the last 2 weeks and said absolutely not.
And what else are they going to say?
And here's my question for the Cowboy fan. It's actually twofold. One, what do you want them to say, Jerry, Stephen, Garrett?
Right.
What would pacify you? What would be smart of them to say?
All right, could I argue if they said, "You know what? We need to start winning big around here and accomplishing our goals, or we'll have to look into making a change," and that will incite the team and revive them and, you know, put a stick up Garrett's, you know what.
But doesn't Garrett already know that?
He should, yeah. But to give him a sense of urgency, a boost.
But doesn't he already have that?
Not in the last two games, this team.
Not in terms of the results.
That's the thing that's bothered me the most, is the lackadaisical start. Like,
oh, me too.
The dead sideline. And someone brought this up yesterday, and I think it was Skin, and I love the point. Where's Dak? Where's Mr. Leader, Dak Prescott? Where's the amazing captain who is one of the great young leaders in all of sports that we all agree upon? Dak sitting there dazed and confused on a sideline. Dak revving anybody up or getting anybody hype as they're getting smoked by the Jets. Dak with the same old generic Garrett talk in the postgame and during his press conferences throughout the week. I thought it was an interesting point. Where's the great leader? Now, you're there every day. We don't know what he's doing behind the scenes. But during these games, Mike, they look like dead corpses while down 20.
And the question is, are they dead corpses because they're down 20, or are they down 20 because they're dead corpses? I just don't know.
Yeah.
I'm just not a believer in the magical pep talk did it, because every team gives a speech before the game.
Right.
And then one of them wins and one of them loses. When they were 3-13, they had the same leaders as when they were 4-12. Same exact leaders. So, with all due respect to the where is Dak's great speech, Jason Witten's been here for 15 years.
Yeah.
He's given 15,000 great speeches, and sometimes they win and sometimes they lose. I don't think there's magic elixir words. I don't think that Jerry can come on the radio today on 105.3 The Fan and say, "Well, Garrett, either needs a win at Philadelphia against Philadelphia, or he's fired, and have that change the way they do their business in the building.
And you shouldn't need to hear that as a Garrett hater, because of course they're evaluating him. He doesn't have a contract.
Right.
And I have good news for the Metroplex, and I'm willing to announce it right now at 6:05 with Mike Fisher as our co-host today. I don't know if it's going to happen within the season or right after, but Jason Garrett will not be the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys next year.
No.
That I feel very confident in saying. I can break that for you right now.
That's a breaking story.
I'm not breaking it. I'm not reporting it. They're just not going to win enough in order for him to survive. He is not going to reach the level of success that Jerry and Steven want. The Cowboys will have a new head coach next year.
That's really brilliant of you, very clever of you, because what you're doing is predicting that the Cowboys aren't going to the NFC Championship game.
Exactly.
And you might be wrong, and you want to be wrong.
I want to be wrong. Yeah, this is hurting my mortgage payments.
Right.
This is not good, because DFW, as I've learned over the years, that we're missing a percentage of our audience today, not because we've downgraded in co-host, which we have, but because Cowboy fans can't take tuning in after a loss or three straight losses. This is hurting. Like, this sucks.
Well, I would tell the Tolo to man up.
That's what Ben Rogers did.
Come on in here. We'll be fine. In fact, maybe we can help you through this. I understand what you want to hear. I understand that you want heads to roll.
Yeah.
You want Jason's head on a stick. I do get it. And if they lose again, you'll want it again. But Jerry announcing that I might put Jason's head on a stick doesn't change anything. Steven announcing it doesn't change anything. Steven should say absolutely not. That's what he should say. And we asked Garrett yesterday in the press conference about if Jerry and Steven have talked to him about this. And he said, you know, I'm just focused on Philadelphia. Because they don't need to talk. They already know.
Yeah, I agree. So that's the latest update on Garrett being replaced. What about being replaced by Lincoln Riley, Fish?
The facts of Lincoln Riley are that probably 2 years ago, Steven and Lincoln Riley started developing a relationship. That's the facts. That's the reason to connect Lincoln Riley here. Now, the fact that he's done an incredible job at Oklahoma, that's a reason to connect him everywhere. It's regional, so we automatically think of him like maybe he's kind of ours.
Yeah.
Not realizing why wouldn't the Vikings have a connection with Lincoln Riley?
Right.
There's not somebody in Vikings management that's friends with Lincoln Riley? Of course there is. Or maybe there is. There's not somebody in New York that's friends with Lincoln Riley? So we're a little myopic there. We're a little selfish there, thinking all these coaches in this region, well, they're ours. The attraction to Lincoln Riley and Lincoln Riley's attraction back, people in Oklahoma don't think he's leaving. They think he's already the king of a kingdom.
Right.
And so I get a lot of people, and I think Ben Rogers got some of this too, saying, why would he ever leave? The reason you would ever leave is because this is the biggest stage in sports.
Yeah, RJ says it doesn't matter that it's the Dallas Cowboys, and I know you will big time disagree. RJ's like, it doesn't matter it's the Dallas Cowboys job. He would rather be the head coach of the, RJ would, the Oklahoma Sooners than the Dallas Cowboys, that Oklahoma's a better program.
You can enjoy being the king of Oklahoma. There's nothing wrong with being the king of Oklahoma.
Yeah. Salary's the same.
Right. Now, Jerry can make the salary different, but Oklahoma can make the salary different.
Right.
But what RJ needs to do, and he has access to do this, and I'm not taking a poke at him, go ask some coaches if you'd like to be the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. It's the biggest stage in sports. So if you're an actor in the Carrollton Dinner Theater, do you want to be on Broadway? Or do you really love Carrollton?
I would make the case that and this is a subject for another day, the Cowboys shouldn't want Lincoln Riley. I can make that case. The Cowboys are in a win-now phase.
Right.
They have, yes, a young team, but they have Super Bowl aspirations. Legitimate before the year, in my opinion, legitimate Super Bowl hopes. And I'm going to bring in a brand-new college guy. That's not going to take a while to learn. He's going to be an automatic win-now fix. Give me a veteran NFL coach to finish this off versus Lincoln Riley in the hopes that we're going to Steve Spurrier everybody and Kingsbury it up.
The reason your opinion on this, Sean Sharif, is so educated is because you talk to Jerry Jones a lot and you listen to him. How many times have Jerry said about Jason, who he has great admiration for and respect for, that he's been paid to learn on the job? Jerry's been saying it for 10 years that we're paying him to learn on the job. So I like what you're saying. Why not hire a finished product as a coach, which Lincoln Riley certainly is not? Why just because other teams have hired handsome guys in their mid-30s with a scruffy beard, do you have to hire one? And that's another part of the Lincoln Riley story.
What did you make of the Dez and T.O. criticism?
T.O.'s got an axe to grind. And T.O. has the phone number here at the Fan. He's got the hotline today if he wants to call in.
Oh, nice.
But he can have an axe to grind.
Yeah.
Maybe he earned it. Maybe he earned his axe to grind. Dez
is talking about them having too many worthless meetings. Have you talked to Dez recently?
I need to talk to him about this one. I don't remember.
Invite Dez up calling the hotline.
Okay, maybe we should do that.
Tell him to plug his business ventures.
When they went 13-3, did they have too many stupid meetings?
Right.
The meetings were only stupid when you lose three in a row.
Yeah, Dez was suggesting that the meetings are taken away from injury rehab time. That sounds crazy.
I don't want to dispute his truth, because his truth is his truth, but that doesn't make any sense. I don't think that Britt Brown and Jim Maurer would suggest. In fact, I'll say it harsher than this. Britt Brown and Jim Maurer have enough authority in that building to go tell the head coach, I'm pulling this guy out of your meeting. We got to go do rehab. I promise you that. So maybe Dez has a bit of an axe to grind too. But why?
Did Jalen Smith get robbed of his rehab because of meetings?
Right. You should have seen Byron Jones all offseason. You should have seen Tavon Austin all offseason. They didn't miss meetings, nor did they miss rehab. I don't think that's a fair accusation. But this is what happens when you're 0-3.
Yep.
When they were 3-0, did they have too many meetings? When they were 3-0, did they not understand clock management?
Right.
When they were 3-0, did they have bad leadership? When they were 3-0, did they lack energy? No, this is chicken or the egg now that you're 0-3.
All right, let's move on to High Five Gate. Yesterday, I told RJ in this hour, I was like, I don't want to ask it. I feel silly asking it to Garrett because I think it's completely overblown. But these are the narratives that happen, as you just said. We asked Jason Garrett about it yesterday. He was not thrilled with the question. And then Travis Frederick, thankfully, the sports gift that is Travis Frederick on this station every single week with Ben and Skin, talked about how many high fives Garrett completes on a game day.
If I had to predict that the percentage of fives, high or low, that were given, I would guess probably 50%.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Oh, is that, and now is that?
That seems low.
That's low now. Is that because guys are sending a message?
Well, I think really it's you're very tired when you're coming off the field, and whether you have to take an extra two steps to get closer to give somebody a high five or not can sometimes be an effect on that, and sometimes you don't see it. There's multitude of reasons why you may or may not indulge in the five process.
How good is his delivery?
See, and I'm very proud of the Tolo because you get that. Now that you've heard that, and you need to hear it again and again, and maybe America needs to hear that. That you get the sarcasm of this. I'm behind 21-3. I'm dragging around my 300-pound arse up and down the field, and now we've dragged ourselves off the field, and somebody, even the head coach, somebody wants to give me a low five. I'm not in the mood. I didn't see it. And you know what this reminds me of? This is, and I have great respect for Mike Lombardi and what he's accomplished. He's a friend of friends of the show. He's probably even a friend of the show. But this idea that we should reduce Jason Garrett, a human being who's accomplished some things, oh, he's just the clapper. And you did it with his yawn the other day.
Right.
And again, you had some fun with it. He's the clapper. He's the yawner. He's the low fiver. Let's create a meme. Let's grab 3 seconds of video and make fun of this guy. Let's make fun of his hair. I just think it's cheap. I think he needs to be better at coaching, and we need to be better at analysis.
But you know you have to go and ask. I went and paused for the two guys. You have to go and ask Malik Collins and Joe Thomas, Go up to Joe and be like, why'd you stiff Jason?
I will go up to Joe and he will answer it. I will go up to Malik and we'll see. And I think they'll have some fun with it. Although, again, they've lost three games in a row. I don't know how much fun they want to have on a Wednesday.
All right, let's see if this matters at all. Doug Peterson, guaranteed an Eagles win. Well, that actually, I think that's actually a gift for the Cowboys and their lifeless sidelines. We'll talk about whether that will matter. Monday Night Football robbery, Mavs and Major League Baseball, and the Stars. Oh, my goodness. It's all coming up next.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Steps up, penalty marker down, throws left side of the end zone, wide of the mark.
I got a feeling they're going to get holding called here in the offensive backfield.
Oh, if it's holding, we're going to move from chip shot to
illegal,
not so
use
much
of hands,
chip
hands
shot.
To the face. Defense.
Yes.
Number 90. 5-yard penalty from the previous spot. First down, Green Bay.
You doubter, Rock.
Awful. Awful. Packers radio with the call. Detroit gets screwed after controlling that game last night, and Green Bay wins on a last-second field goal. Monday Night Football. It's Sean and RJ, Mike Fisher in for Choppy here on 105.3 The Fan.
How different does that division look if that game has a different result? Because the Packers now are working at running away with it. Vikings chasing, Bears chasing, and the Lions, who are good enough to be tied for first place.
Are the Cowboys better than the Lions?
Well, we're going to find out, won't we?
We are going to find out.
Because they play
out.
Each other. In fact, now we start an 8-game gauntlet of teams that are as good as the Cowboys.
Very Mickey answer. but on this show, when Mickey's not on, we give the opinion on it. Detroit is 2-2, and I would say tomorrow on a neutral field, and shoot, forget about just the recency bias of losing to the Jets, I would still say the Lions are better.
Would you really?
Yeah. The Cowboys are a... They're a toolkit in my house, okay? So, like, if I'm going to go to Home Depot today, I'm going to, like Ben Rogers, we're the same person with this.
Right.
I'm going to buy, like, a really nice toolkit.
Yeah.
I'm going to get a good one. But the problem is, when I get it in my house, I'm not going to know really what to do with it. Like, I'm not fixing the cabinet.
Right.
I'm not fixing the shower head. I can't do the garbage disposal. None of it. It's useless.
Yeah.
So with the Cowboys, I think they have all the tools. I think they have all the talent. I really do. But now I've lost the faith and belief that whether it's coaching, whether it's the intangibles, whether it's the adjustments, I thought that that concern was gone to start off the year because I thought Kellen Moore had a major control of this offense. Well, now, for some reason, everything flip-flopped. It seems like Jason is more involved, or maybe Kellen never had that much power. And obviously the defense is broken. So the Cowboys are a nice toolbox. Unfortunately, it's me unclogging the toilet.
You agree that they can get unbroken this Sunday? Because the Eagles are broken, too.
Yes.
But scary.
Yes.
The Eagles have all the tools.
Yes.
They've got a lovely toolbox.
Yes.
And a coach willing to brag about it.
Yeah, there are people that think that the Eagles have the best roster in the NFL going into the season. They have the best roster.
Obviously, Coach Doug thinks so, too.
Right.
Because they're going to come to Dallas, and they're going to kick your team's butt. And he's not scared to say it on your friendly station, WIP.
Doug Peterson on the whip yesterday with the Meatball Morning Show.
I know the sky's falling outside.
Yes.
You know, it's falling, and I get that. And the fans are reeling just a little bit. But you know, we're going down to Dallas, and our guys are going to be ready to play. And we're going to win that football game. And when we do, we're in first place in the NFC East. We control our own destiny. We're right where we need to be. Has it been perfect or beautiful or all of that? No. But all we got to do is try to be 1-0 this week, beat the Dallas Cowboys. We're in first place. And listen, they're they're reeling too. I mean, they're struggling too. They've dropped their last three games. So this will be an exciting football game.
You sound very confident about Sunday, Doc.
I have to be.
Then during his presser, like he does the same thing Garrett does with us. Comes on Monday, media presser with everyone else later. Did you guarantee a win in Dallas earlier today on the radio, Doug?
Never said that. I never said that. Never said guarantee a win. No, I never did.
Wait, hold on. I'm sorry. I'm pretty sure I work with audio every day of my life since I was 15 years old because I'm old. But let me hear that again.
We're going down to Dallas, and our guys are going to be ready to play. And we're going to win that football game.
Never said that.
We're going to win that football game.
I never said that. Never said guarantee a win.
We're going to win that football game.
No, I'd never do that.
We're going to win that football game.
Okay, so I'll make sure.
Wow.
How strange.
How about a backtrack right there? That's weird. Now, in your experience, I think that sports guarantees have lost all value. Like, since Joe Namath did it, everything has fallen off. Zero importance. Maybe Mark Messier, the last legitimate one for the Rangers when they won the Stanley Cup. Otherwise, doesn't matter. I believe that these guys, when they're halfway through the first quarter, are not thinking about Doug Peterson disrespecting them. Now, I think it can have maybe an impact for... Let me ask you, you're in the locker room every day. You've covered sports for 100 years. Does this have any impact?
I do agree with you that it fades.
Yeah.
I think Jason Garrett's fibbing when he says, we don't pay any attention to that.
They don't use it as bulletin board?
I think he's fibbing when he says, first of all, Jason Garrett wanting his team to be buttoned up and prepared, somebody needs to tell the players that the Eagles coach said that. So on Wednesday, when we ask the players about it, they don't go, I don't know what you're talking about. So that wouldn't be a good look for the Cowboys. I go back to Jimmy Johnson, who, number one, made famously around here the big prediction. Put it in 3-inch headlines. We're going to beat the 49ers in a playoff game. I thought it was insane of him, but it helped something. And also at the same time, in Jimmy's era, when you were at Valley Ranch and the players went out to the parking lot, there was a gigantic, literally a bulletin board. And Bruce Mays on the staff was in charge of filling the bulletin board with crap. It was stuff that somebody might have said 20 years ago about the Cowboys.
Right.
And he'd put it up there. So if Jimmy Johnson thinks it's a little something, that's good enough for me.
I think it can have an impact during your week of prep.
Sure.
Like in the third quarter, again, no one, at the start of the fourth quarter, no one is going to remember this. But I think it can have a positive impact for both sides that Doug Peterson has now put it on the table for his team to live up to.
Of course, then he took it off the table.
But for the Cowboys, this for me is a dream come true.
Yeah.
This team is allergic to good starts. That is their kryptonite. So hopefully in the week of prep, they go into the locker room every single day, lie to you guys.
Yeah.
And say, we're not paying attention to it. We just focused on it. But they go in the meeting room and they're like, F Doug Peterson.
Yes.
F those guys. Hopefully they feel a little bit of disrespect. Hopefully they feel insulted, which they should, and use that for a good start, which they've been allergic to.
And the evidence will come twofold if the Cowboys win. One, in the locker room afterwards, Arnold and myself, it'll come up if the Cowboys win. Two, when NFL Films/DallasCowboys.com releases sideline audio of the fourth quarter, if the Cowboys are winning, they'll have tons of audio.
Tons.
Them saying, nice guarantee, Doug.
Last 3 minutes.
Promise you.
Yes.
So, again, I don't mind that Garrett pretends that it's not a thing. But Garrett played for Jimmy Johnson. He knows it can be a little bit of a thing.
877-881-1053, Autoflex Leasing Fan Text.
Yeah, from the 214, we've seen this work in the Cowboys' favor not even a year ago. Remember linebacker Camus Grugier-Hill for the Eagles said the Cowboys were choke artists and they were going to go down to Dallas and make them choke? He apologized right afterwards and basically took the comments back, but then the Cowboys choked out the Eagles, and he had to answer to those questions. From the 817, if Doug Peterson is guaranteeing a win and they lose, does that mean he's going to get kicked off the team like Zach Brown did?
Yeah, Zach Brown, who dogged Kirk Cousins and then cowardly dodged owning it after Cousins lit them up for four touchdowns, got cut yesterday. So see you later. Bye-bye. What's up with the injuries, by the way?
The Amari Cooper thing is a problem.
Yeah.
The other ones, maybe you'll work your way through over the course of the week. I think Tyron Smith is going to come back. I think he was very close to trying. I mean, he tried to play on Sunday, and his plan was to play on Sunday, and I think the trainers pulled him back. Lyle Collins with the sprained knee, I bet you he plays. Byron Jones will have to keep checking on. Anthony Brown's got a little something too. But the game changer is Amari Cooper, who played one series. Remember when he was down on the ground, kind of in a little pile, and he got up really slowly?
Yeah.
I think that was it. And that was the end of Amari Cooper for that day. All season long, with quad, heel, ankle, he really doesn't practice. He's limited every day, no matter what they put on the report. He jogs through routes just to kind of get a little timing down and get a little blood flowing. But he's not himself Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Then Sundays, he's fantastic. I don't know if he'll be fantastic against the Eagles because I don't know if he can play.
So last night, Monday Night Football, the Packers take advantage of bad calls, and Detroit does not score enough in the red zone. They end up kicking 5 field goals. Everyone's besides themselves because of the refereeing, and the Packers win at home without Davante Adams. Again, we know what that feels like. We had the Mavericks last night. Porzingis and Luka hooking up again. They beat the Thunder 107-70. Luka with a nice stat line, 19-10-7 in 27 minutes. And Porzingis had 17-13 as he went 7 of 21 from the field. Nats go up 3-0 on the Cardinals. It was a blowout win, and the Stars get blown out by Buffalo. 4-0. The Stars are now 1-5-1 on the season.
Here's what bothers me the most about that is in this town, as Troy Aikman once famously called it, a winner's town. If you're
the go to a ton of Stars games.
I'm a Minnesota North Stars kid. If they get off to a bad start, the audience doesn't embrace them. If the audience doesn't embrace them, because the audience chooses something else. Right now, the Mavs look really cute to all of us.
Yeah.
And if the audience doesn't embrace them, then the building doesn't buzz. And then there's not the boomerang effect to help the team perform well because there's not buzz in the building, and then the team loses again.
What have you learned about Porzingis so far?
He said something the other night after another poor shooting night last Friday. He said, I need to remind myself that there's other things I can do around here besides shoot. He's a shot blocker. He's an adept passer. He's an incredible decoy. And so I think that happened last night. He did not shoot well, but he still, in a lot of ways, played well. The chemistry between those two guys is magnificent already. A bunch of Mavericks players went to Miami in the offseason and just hung out and worked out and stuff on their own. That's nice. For somebody to figure out in the post-Dirk era, how are we going to have chemistry and bonding and go get it? That's an accomplishment already. And then you've got the story underneath the story for the Mavericks, for me, emerged a little bit yesterday when Luka's dad came out and said, the Mavericks are the perfect place for my son because in Dallas they know how to embrace European stars in a way that other teams don't. And I, in my story that I wrote about it, I reminded the reader what I believe is the real reason that Luka's here. Because why did other teams pass on him? Why did his own coach, who was in charge of Arizona, pass on him?
Yeah.
Why did the people who run the Kings, who are from Europe, pass on him? And I believe
the Hawks.
Why did the Hawks pass? The Hawks didn't get a better player than Luka.
Right.
Everybody knows that. And I believe the reason is because Luka's people and his family and his representative subtly and with a smile on their face told the NBA, we want to go to Dallas. No offense, Atlanta. No offense, Arizona. No offense, Sacramento. We want to go to Dallas because that's where Euros shine. And this is just the start of something big.
All right, when we come back, we're throwing a party, okay? And we want you to join us with Jalen Smith, with Charles Haley, with Stars Cup champions, with Chris Woodward. We'll tell you how to join us and the two things that everyone's dying to see. On Saturday, October 26th, from noon to 4, it is free to get into Texas Live Faniversary. We're celebrating 10 years. Mike Fisher in for Choppy here on Sean and RJ on DFW Sports Station. Pictures with Rowdy of the Cowboys, Chris Woodward, Mavs man. We're going to have Cowboy cheerleaders out there. Jalen Smith, Charles Haley. We're going to have star Stanley Cup champions. Saturday, October 26th, noon to 4. You can bring the whole family to Texas Live. Presented by my peeps over at the law offices of Frankel and Frankel. So that's going to be awesome. Fanniversary. Make the reservation today for that Saturday.
And I think it's really important one more time. Not only is it a free event, but everything you do inside is free as well. So you can get those autographs for free. You're not paying like a $50 charge like when you go to like some memorabilia, you know, showcase or convention. No, we're all hanging out. We're all going to have fun. Sean won't remember you the next day.
Shut up.
But we are going to have fun. It's going to be awesome.
So I said when Jerry Jones worked the deal to get football back in L.A. That it was undeserving. For Los Angeles. Los Angeles doesn't deserve two football teams, and they may not even deserve one. They've lost it enough times, you don't deserve it. And the Chargers, I feel bad for them. As RJ has always said, they play 16 road games. They have no home fans showing up. Well, the other night, as Pittsburgh went in there and smoked them on Sunday Night Football, I had to rely on Mike Fisher for a cool term. Rick rolled. What does that mean, Mike? What does that mean, Fish?
It's a deceptive online ploy that lures you into pressing a button because you think it's going to be some amazing content, and it turns out to be
something else.
The song "Never Gonna Give You Up" by Rick Astley, which Mike doesn't want to admit to that he listens to.
Never
constantly.
Gonna give you up.
Oh, God.
Never gonna make you cry.
Oh, no.
Never gonna sing to find and hurt you.
Wow. That was good.
It's Blue Eyed Soul.
Yeah, he knows it.
Yeah, basically white guys that can sing with soul.
Yeah.
Is what it is.
So at the stadium, they started playing a song to transition from it. Unfortunately, the song was like the Steelers' unofficial anthem in L.A.
Oh.
And they tried to switch on over, and the Chargers were very ticked off about it. They're like, why are you playing the Steelers song in our house?
Now, would the Steelers song be this song that you told me to pull from an LP record that was down the hall from, like, 1974? Would this be the song Renegade by Styx?
I didn't know if this was the Steelers song or not, but that's what I saw in the
article. Hey, guys, welcome to Back to Bo and Jim.
So the Chargers PA guy plays the Steelers anthem song. It'd be like We Them Boys. It'd be
right.
Like playing We Them Boys in L.A. with the Cowboys taking on the Chargers. What a joke.
You know, I get to the stadiums early, obviously, AT&T and all the other ones, and for hours they practice. Hours and hours and hours. They practice every button. They practice the wolf howl,
yeah,
and the time, and they practice the
How's
timing.
That go?
I don't know. I'm not listening.
Oh, no, the wolf howl. You don't
yeah,
know
yeah,
how that goes.
Just give us a little bit. Just give us a little
oh!
bit.
Oh,
that's good. That's nice. Clean. That's clean drop. Right.
And so, how you could do that? Make that accidental gaffe? I do not know. Except for the problem of it's not our house. It's not the Chargers' house.
Right.
Nobody's house.
Yeah.
They don't have a house.
And then I've always said people who believe in jinxes need to be committed. It's ridiculous. It just doesn't exist.
Yeah.
The Kings of Los Angeles do not agree. Taylor Swift apparently has the title of most sellouts there at that arena. Snakes and stones never broke my bones. So, well, Kings fans think there's a Taylor Swift curse. So that has caused the Kings to blackout Taylor Swift's banner in the arena saying
really?
Most sellouts. They have covered it up in the hopes that this gets the Kings off to a better start to their season. And they won their first game with it blacked out and lost their next one.
Maybe the Stars need to black out something.
Yeah, what else is up there in the rafters? What do we have up there? We have any second place, third place division title banners?
We don't have any pop Stars, I don't believe.
Yeah,
let's put one up and block it out.
Who's sold out the AAC the most? George Strait too big for that?
What?
He'd be an AT.
Yeah, do George Strait.
No, not George. George selling out Texas Stadium. You put someone like Sean Mendez You put him up there. That'd be a good one.
Yeah, so they think there's a Taylor Swift curse, so they blocked out the banner. All right, the two movie events that everyone has been talking about, I haven't seen either. Roy saw El Camino and Fish saw Joker, and you even wrote, did you write an article about it?
Yeah, I wrote it on Facebook.
You write?
I love this song.
Man, is it not funny?
Like, no humor
movie. There's a couple times when you chuckle and you, like, he runs into a door. He runs into a door that he thinks is open. It's closed. Oh, you know, it's a pratfall.
Well,
that's funny.
Spoiler!
What a dope.
But well, it's not, I mean.
Well, he's a disturbed individual.
It's not a comedy. It's not funny. He's among his problems is he's got a disorder that causes him to laugh nervously. For no reason.
Can you give us a little bit of what that sounds like?
That's pretty good.
And so, of course, imagine the trouble that gets him in. He, you know, he's being accosted, he's being mugged, he's arguing with his counselor, he's arguing with his boss, and he laughs nervously. Well, it's not funny. It's not a cartoon. It has very little to do with Batman. Mm. Obviously, there's some Batman mythology in there, and I won't spoil any of it.
Yeah.
So it, you know, it's in Gotham. Arkham is the, so it's all that, but this movie is completely independent, if it wanted to be, of DC Comics and Batman and all of that. This is Martin Scorsese's Taxi Driver in clown face. It's one of the saddest movies ever made.
Troy, did you see Taxi Driver?
Yeah. Okay. Oh, you haven't seen Taxi Driver? That, I mean, I know it's an older movie compared to some.
What did you say, that was De Niro?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a classic. It's like, you know, that Dude, Where's My Car?
It's one of the... No, it's not anything like that.
Dude,
no?
Where's My Car?
I don't think...
We need to do a Studio Movie Grill of classics. We do a great job getting Tolos together.
Oh, God. Here comes Fish with Citizen Kane.
And Casablanca.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, Citizen Kane.
You guys know nothing about Scarlett O'Hara.
So Choppy and KT said, though, that this should win all the awards.
It will get nominated across the board. It'll get nominated for Best Actor, nominated for Best Picture, nominated for... Best Original Screenplay. The reason it might not win is because of the backlash. It's so disturbing. I hate to say this, but inevitably, there's going to be some lunatic, mentally deranged, mentally ill lunatic, who takes this movie and says, hey, that looks like a good idea. But that won't be the movie's fault. There's been insanity and murderous insanity since the beginning of humanity, and we don't blame the Bible. And we don't, but we blame video games. So that's going to happen here. Don't take your 6-year-old.
Was there kids in there?
All kinds of kids.
Oh, gosh.
And if your kid isn't already in counseling, he's going to be in counseling after he sees that movie.
Right.
But certainly explain to even a teenager that you would take to it, this movie is not celebrating violence. It's addressing mental illness and how little we care about it. It's also a reflection of a 1980 New York, which was... Troy, are you 1980s New York was a dump.
Yeah. I mean, I was born 78, but like, you know, Times Square now is the most tourist place you can go in NYC, and back then it was all adult film stores and XXX movie theaters.
This is that, Sean. Like, if Times Square now is like Disneyland,
right?
But back then it really was rats and garbage, and this movie is all about that. It's rats and garbage and sadness. This is like.
All right, I'm out on this.
I mean, you don't...
Yeah, Fish, you lost Sean when you said the word Bible. He didn't know what that was.
Well, and you know what? There's a lot of people, and I put my review on Facebook at Fish Sports, and a lot of people said, if I'm going to walk out of there sad, why do I want to pay money to be sad?
I was sad Sunday.
Yeah.
Okay, what's the difference?
Yeah, man. Forrest Gump to me was a sad movie.
Forrest Gump was sad.
It was sad.
It was sad too many times.
Still an amazing movie, you know, Old Yeller, sad. Spoiler.
Sophie's Choice is the saddest movie
ever
made.
Sophie's Choice.
All right, Roy.
Mike.
The Breaking Bad movie, El Camino.
El Camino. I'm trying to determine whether or not you could jump in and watch this movie without having seen a second of Breaking Bad. And I think the answer is yes.
Choppy's in then.
I do think you could do it without ever having seen a minute of Breaking Bad, especially if you sit through the 2.5-minute recap that they give you at the very beginning that recaps the entire series. And wow, it does an amazing job of giving you the pieces that you need to know before going into the movie. And I have to say, if you did watch Breaking Bad, I don't think it's possible you couldn't enjoy this.
Wow. Good. Did you see Breaking Bad?
Yeah.
Did you like it?
Fantastic.
Okay, same here.
So many Easter eggs, so many homages to old characters, and a lot of people have asked, well, how can they include certain characters that we know have since passed or whatever? Well, they have flashbacks within the movie that go back to what Jesse went through from a mental standpoint during his, you know, torturous kind of imprisonment. And the relationship he had with his mentor. One of the great things about it, though, is with each Easter egg, they never show you the character. They always give you the character's voice off screen first. So you're like there kind of guessing, who is that? Do I know this person? Who is that? There are some characters that I think you might not immediately recognize, but then realize later, oh, wow, he did play a pivotal part in the original show as well. And if you're looking for a satisfying ending to something that, in my opinion, a lot of people felt was just left undone, and that is what happens to Jesse, you get that from this film.
Those are two good reviews without spoiling. Well done. Joker and El Camino, is it getting good reviews?
It is. It's getting very good reviews, and that's not necessarily, that's not just from people who are big fans of the show. There have been some people that reviewed it as well. Now, I don't think you would enjoy it as much if you hadn't seen the show. They're not going to be as many Easter egg moments, but there are certainly things that I think you will take from
it. How long is it?
2 hours.
Okay, what about you, Sean?
Save that as a cut.
Yeah, that's a good one. What about you, Sean? Fisher's doing reviews. Roy's doing reviews.
Yeah, Sean.
What about you? What's going on?
I review the Cowboys offensive game plan.
No. What's going on near pier?
Below deck?
Whatever.
Near pier. Oh, my gosh. I'm trying to think of the last big thing that I've watched. I do need to watch El Camino.
Why don't you make that a drop, too?
What did I say?
I'm trying to think of the last big thing I saw.
Roy, you stepped on it. I could have had Mike be equal with me. Dummy. All right. When we come back, do you have Eagles tickets for today?
I do.
Cowboys, Eagles tickets. And man, did LeBron James get destroyed last night. And it had nothing to do with being on the basketball court. That Cowboy injury updates, the filthy guarantee for Sunday night. It's a Tolo Tuesday. We want to send you to the game in Arlington. We'll do it next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.